Without saying a word, Don Juan led me back to the first hilltop. We stood there for a moment, and then he guided me on another excursion to look for the plant, but in the opposite direction. We combed the area and found two more bushes, perhaps a mile away. They'd grown together and stuck out as a patch of intense, rich green, more lush than all the other surrounding bushes. Don Juan looked at me with a serious expression. I didn't know what to think of it. "This is a very strange omen," he said. We returned to the first hilltop, making a wide detour in order to approach it from a new direction. He seemed to be going out of his way to prove to me that there were very few such plants around there. We didn't find any of them on our way. When we reached the hilltop, we sat down in complete silence. Don Juan untied his gourds. "You'll feel better after eating," he said. He couldn't hide his delight. He had a beaming grin as he patted me on the head. I felt disoriented. The new developments were disturbing, but I was too hungry and tired to really ponder upon them. After eating, I felt very sleepy. Don Juan urged me to use the technique of looking without focusing in order to find a suitable spot to sleep on the hilltop where I'd seen the bush. I selected one. He picked up the debris from the spot and made a circle with it the size of my body. Very gently, he pulled some fresh branches from the bushes and swept the area inside the circle. He only went through the motions of sweeping. He didn't really touch the ground with the branches. He then removed all the surface rocks from the area inside the circle and placed them in the center after meticulously sorting them by size into two piles of equal number. "What are you doing with those rocks?" I asked. "They aren't rocks," he said. "They are strings. They will hold your spot suspended." He took the smaller rocks and marked the circumference of the circle with them. He spaced them evenly, and with the aid of a stick, he secured each rock firmly in the ground, as if he were a mason. He didn't let me come inside the circle, but told me to walk around and watch what he did. He counted 18 rocks, following a counterclockwise direction. "Now, run down to the bottom of the hill and wait," he said, "and I'll come to the edge and see if you're standing in the appropriate spot."
"What are you going to do?"
"I'm going to toss each of these strings to you," he said, pointing to the pile of bigger rocks. "And you have to place them in the ground at the spot I'll indicate in the same manner I've placed the other ones. You must be infinitely careful. When one's dealing with power, one has to be perfect. Mistakes are deadly here. Each of these is a string that could kill us if we leave it around loose. So you simply can't make any mistakes. You must fix your gaze on the spot where I'll throw the string. If you get distracted by anything at all, the string will become an ordinary rock, and you won't be able to tell it apart from the other rocks lying around." I suggested that it would be easier if I carried the strings downhill one at a time. Don Juan laughed and shook his head negatively. "These are strings," he insisted, "and they have to be tossed by me and have to be picked up by you." It took hours to fulfill the task. The degree of concentration needed was excruciating. Don Juan reminded me every time to be attentive and focus my gaze. He was right in doing so. To pick out a specific rock that came hurtling downhill, displacing other rocks in its way, was indeed a maddening affair. When I had completely closed the circle and walked to the top, I thought I was about to drop dead. Don Juan had picked some small branches and had matted the circle. He handed me some leaves and told me to put them inside my pants, against the skin of my umbilical region. He said that they would keep me warm, and I wouldn't need a blanket to sleep. I tumbled down inside the circle. The branches made a fairly soft bed, and I fell asleep instantly.
It was late afternoon when I woke up. It was windy and cloudy. The clouds overhead were compact cumulus clouds, but towards the west, they were thin cirrus clouds, and the sun shone on the land from time to time. Sleeping had renewed me. I felt invigorated and happy. The wind didn't bother me. I wasn't cold. I propped my head up with my arms and looked around. I hadn't noticed before, but the hilltop was quite high. The view towards the west was impressive. I could see a vast area of low hills and then the desert. There was a range of dark brown mountain peaks towards the north and east, and towards the south, an endless expanse of land and hills and distant blue mountains. I sat up. Don Juan wasn't anywhere in sight. I had a sudden attack of fear. I thought he may have left me there alone, and I didn't know the way back to my car. I lay down again on the mat of branches, and strangely enough, my apprehension vanished. I again experienced a sense of quietness, an exquisite sense of well-being. It was an extremely new sensation to me. My thoughts seemed to have been turned off. I was happy. I felt healthy. A very quiet ebullience filled me. A soft wind was blowing from the west and swept over my entire body without making me cold. I felt it on my face and around my ears like a gentle wave of warm water that bathed me and then receded and bathed me again. It was a strange state of being that had no parallel in my busy and dislocated life. I began to weep. Not out of sadness or self-pity, but out of some ineffable, inexplicable joy. I wanted to stay in that spot forever, and I may have, had Don Juan not come and yanked me out of the place. "You've had enough rest," he said as he pulled me up. He led me very calmly on a walk around the periphery of the hilltop. We walked slowly and in complete silence. He seemed to be interested in making me observe the scenery all around us. He pointed to clouds and mountains with a movement of his eyes, or with a movement of his chin. The scenery in the late afternoon was superb. It evoked sensations of awe and despair in me, and reminded me of sights in my childhood. We climbed to the highest point of the hilltop, a peak of igneous rock, and sat down comfortably with our backs against the rock facing the south. The endless expanse of land towards the south was truly majestic. "Fix all this in your memory," Don Juan whispered in my ear. "This spot is yours. This morning, you saw, and that was the omen. You found this spot by seeing. The omen was unexpected, but it happened. You're going to hunt power whether you like it or not. It's not a human decision, not yours or mine. Now, properly speaking, this hilltop is your place, your beloved place. All that's around you is under your care. You must look after everything here, and everything will in turn look after you." In a joking way, I asked if everything was mine. He said yes, in a very serious tone. I laughed and told him that what we were doing reminded me of the story of how the Spaniards that conquered the New World had divided the land in the name of their king. They used to climb to the top of a mountain and claim all the land they could see in any specific direction. "That's a good idea," he said. "I'm going to give you all the land you can see, not in one direction, but all around you." He stood up and pointed with his extended hand, turning his body around to cover a complete circle. "All this land is yours," he said. I laughed out loud. He giggled and asked me, "Why not? Why can't I give you this land?" "You don't own this land," I said. "So what? The Spaniards didn't own it either, and yet they divided it and gave it away. So why can't you take possession of it in the same vein?" I scrutinized him to see if I could detect the real mood behind his smile. He had an explosion of laughter and nearly fell off the rock.
"All this land, as far as you can see, is yours," he went on, still smiling. "Not to use, but to remember. This hilltop, however, is yours to use for the rest of your life. I am giving it to you because you found it yourself. It is yours. Accept it."
I laughed, but Don Juan seemed to be very serious. Except for his funny smile, he appeared to actually believe that he could give me that hilltop.
"Why not?" he asked, as if he were reading my thoughts.
"I accept it," I said, half in jest. His smile disappeared. He squinted his eyes as he looked at me.
"Every rock and pebble and bush on this hill, especially on the top, is under your care," he said. "Every worm that lives here is your friend. You can use them, and they can use you."
We remained silent for a few minutes. My thoughts were unusually scarce. I vaguely felt that his sudden change of mood was foreboding to me, but I wasn't afraid or apprehensive. I just didn't want to talk anymore. Somehow, words seemed to be inaccurate, and their meanings difficult to pinpoint. I had never felt that way about talking, and upon realizing my unusual mood, I hurriedly began to talk.
"But what can I do with this hill, Don Juan?" "Fix every feature of it in your memory. This is the place where you will come in dreaming. This is the place where you will meet with powers, where secrets will someday be revealed to you. You are hunting power, and this is your place, the place where you will store your resources. It doesn't make sense to you now, so let it be a piece of nonsense for the time being."
We climbed down the rock, and he led me to a small bowl-like depression on the west side of the hilltop. We sat down and ate there. Undoubtedly, there was something indescribably pleasant for me on that hilltop. Eating, like resting, was an unknown, exquisite sensation. The light of the setting sun had a rich, almost copperish glow, and everything in the surroundings seemed to be dabbed with a golden hue. I was given totally to observing the scenery. I didn't even want to think. Don Juan spoke to me almost in a whisper. He told me to watch every detail of the surroundings, no matter how small or seemingly trivial, especially the features of the scenery that were most prominent in a westerly direction. He said that I should look at the sun without focusing on it until it had disappeared over the horizon. The last minutes of light, right before the sun hit a blanket of low clouds or fog, were, in a total sense, magnificent. It was as if the sun were inflaming the earth, kindling it like a bonfire. I felt a sensation of redness in my face.
"Stand up!" Don Juan shouted as he pulled me up.
He jumped away from me and ordered me in an imperative but urging voice to trot on the spot where I was standing. As I jogged on the same spot, I began to feel a warmth invading my body. It was a copperish warmth. I felt it in my palate and in the roof of my eyes. It was as if the top part of my head were burning with a cool fire that radiated a copperish glow. Something in myself made me trot faster and faster as the sun began to disappear. At a given moment, I truly felt I was so light that I could have flown away. Don Juan very firmly grabbed my right wrist. The sensation caused by the pressure of his hand brought back a sense of sobriety and composure. I plunked down on the ground, and he sat down by me. After a few minutes' rest, he quietly stood up, tapped me on the shoulder,